Take the humble cassette. Side A or side B, and press play.
We were looking for a way to addition music in small runs that was cost effective and also made the artists that we were commissioning think about A and B. There's a lost art to the A and the B, a lost art to a sequence of music.
Welcome to the new world of the cassette tape, reimagined as a ready-made frame for sound art. Philip Marshall is one of the founders of Tapeworm, a tiny cassette-only label, each release strictly limited to 250 copies, most already sold out.
We do not view this as a dead format. We do not view this as something that doesn't have a place right now.
Xerox and Infinity. This is side one.
Sound artist Vicky Bennett's cassette, Two Elderly Ladies Reading from the Work of a French Philosopher, is typically left field.
One of the longest lasting things on cassette that are still around that people still use are audiobooks. So I thought it would be sort of amusing to do an audiobook, but then I thought, well, also the context of cassette has changed and now it's almost an art form.
Please turn the tape over.
In the way that it's come back, it's very different, almost the opposite of where we left off, where it was something used by possibly elderly people for books. So I thought I'll make a piece of high art on cassette.
Fast forward, the cassette goes.
The composer Simon Fisher-Turner is best known for his soundtracks to the films of Derek Jarman. He's delighted his work is again available in small rectangular boxes.
You know, you can make funny noises with cassettes, you can do all sorts of things, and I think maybe people are discovering it almost literally like a little instrument, so it's like almost like a little synthesizer to a certain extent, but it's just cute, it's, you know, kids love them. I mean, not just kids, you know, I'm 55, I love them.
Not just in Britain. One American music blog lists 101 cassette labels in the US. This is the sound of one of them. Kyle Wright's Tape Fiend cassettes, individually numbered, like limited edition art prints.
It's definitely like a neat experience, just sitting back and listening to a cassette in the day of the iPod where everyone is just listening to crystal clear or supposedly crystal clear music on their headphones everywhere, to sit back with a cassette Walkman on the bus or something, and everyone stares at you a bit strange.
Formats now get less perceived as just being a tool for something like saying, oh, the CD has less noise than the cassette, so it's better or it's so nice because of that.
Stefan Goldman has his own record label in Berlin. His cassette is designed to hit the same beat wherever you turn it over, or if your equipment has a fancy auto-reverse button. He describes the new fascination with the cassette as format fetishism.
What happens is we start doing something just for the particular format. Oh, you could describe that as format fetishism. We just take the format and think, okay, what makes sense in this particular format, or how can we work with this in a way which makes sense, rather than creating the music first and then looking for the appropriate format.
No one is suggesting in a digital age that the cassette will return all-conquering. The British Phonographic Institute says just 8,443 pre-recorded cassettes were sold last year. In 1989, at the height of its power, cassette sales in Britain were 83 million. The rarity now is part of the appeal.
This is side two.
Next up is the mini-disc. I think the mini-disc will return because it was a fantastic editing object. It's actually the beginning of a resurgence of older technology in the same way that they got rid of records and records are selling more again.